Welcome back to the Amazing Gamers Podcast, a just for fun production about media that matters and why we love it so much. Your host, Nathan Lamb, is not an amazing gamer, but he sure knows a few people who are. This is our conversation for today. Welcome back to Amazing Gamers. We have a very special episode today. We have reassembled the Scholars of Nibelheim. We're going to take one last pass at Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and look ahead to the future and really dig into a discussion of what we would like, what I think is probably going to be called Reunion, to look like when it comes out in a couple of years. But first, I'd like to introduce this all-star panel here. I am not a Scholar of Nibelheim. I still really don't even know Cloud's official ship status, although I must admit I'm much clearer on it after playing Rebirth. I don't think Rebirth left much to the imagination, but I will throw it out to my all-star panel.
Quint Chan from Detroit, back again to talk a little bit about Final Fantasy. Glad to be here.
Next up.
Hi, my name is Fax, because on Twitter I was FF7 Fun Facts. Now I go by Damned Writer on Blue Sky. Glad to be here.
Prolific writer.
Thank you.
Definitely. Hi, I'm Sakura. I've been in the Final Fantasy fandom for too long, way too long. And I've since moved on from the fandom life and... mostly I'm offline now, but it's nice to be here to talk about one of my favorite games.
Congratulations. It's great to have you here. So I'm going to throw it right out because we got a hard stop today. I think the first one, I want to give everyone 5 minutes to wrap up on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I want to thank everyone in this panel for preparing me for the end of that game. And I will not apologize for how much I was enjoying it through the first 80 hours. I think how you feel throughout is valid. But yeah, man, boy, it was a hard fall at the end there. Does anyone want to go first on this one? I'm happy to, or...
I'll go ahead. I usually jump in on these things. I'm a talker.
Yeah.
I remember when, before the game even came out, when they announced that they were planning on ending on the death of Aerith. I, just thinking about it going from calm to the death of Aerith, I actually posted, this was back when I was on Twitter, I said, you guys realize this game is basically going to be an open world dating sim with a bunch of mini games and side quests loaded into it, right? And it was amazing how little traffic I got for that post, because then, you know, soon enough, the game came out and everybody complained about it being exactly that. Now, I will say... I was impressed in that it exceeded my expectations, knowing, kind of expecting it to sort of be that way. I think the open world mechanics overall were really good. The mini games, while there's too many, for the most part, were well composed. There was only maybe a couple that I thought were kind of chintzy, but I didn't feel like I was completely wasting my time playing these mini games. Other than that, there was just too many of them in general. And the ending, like... I kind of had this horror in my mind that it would be like Final Fantasy VII Remake, where it just ends really abysmally, but because of where they were saying they were going to end it. But I was actually, again, kind of impressed. It exceeded my expectations a little bit in that they took some steps, they did some writing to make it end a little more smoothly than just, she dies, done. Mm. And I've had people, you know, come back and go, yeah, exactly. I've had people come back at me and be like, well, it's supposed to be a cliffhanger. And I'm like, they could have gone with some better... cliffhangers. They could have, there are some better places to arguably stop for a really good, like, Empire Strikes Back level cliffhanger. It's just kind of awkwardly in the middle. But overall, yeah, I actually really enjoy Rebirth. I'm looking even more forward to part three, which we'll hash out more as to the why. But overall, it for what I was expecting, what I was planning and for what I kind of figured it was going to be, it honestly exceeded my expectations.
You know, I want to just throw one thing before we go to the next. I feel
the expectations are exceeded because she lowered her expectations.
I'm low to begin with. There were good moments in the ending sequence. There were just too many of them. I was a little exasperated by how much was going on. There were moments in it that really worked.
Yeah.
Like that moment where each of them sort of faced their low point in life. Such a good sequence. And then just they move on from it and it's never mentioned again. And there's like 3 hours of stuff So yes, that was sort of my experience too. That was what you had me thinking with that. Alex,
I mean, to piggyback off what Vax just said, so far this trilogy to me has a pacing problem. It's a really bad pacing problem. And where they chose to end the game is part of that pacing problem. But they just aren't giving the scenes or the characters enough room to breathe. So you're always moving on to the next big thing. Mm-hmm. And it really muddies the message I think the game is trying to convey, because there is good stuff there. Like, I can acknowledge that the lore building that they're doing, what they brought in from the larger comp to flesh out the story in more detail has been really good. But the pacing is just like, what are we doing here? Very frustrating as a fan to see them kind of rush through things, not give space to breathe when you've got this big canvas, right? Like, we have more detail. We have more room than ever to expand on these characters. And they're not taking advantage of that in the way that I would like them to. They're making the boss fights more intense. They're making everything bigger and brighter. But I want to see more of these characters and understand what they're feeling. And I think part of the problem with Rebirth 2, it's in the middle, right? So a lot of this mystery that they're trying to convey is actually muddying the story, because we're not getting a clear picture from these characters of what they're thinking or feeling, because that would give away the larger mystery that's going to be unfolding in part 3 here, hopefully. So as a fan, it's frustrating. Just very frustrating.
Yeah. I definitely have a couple things to say, but I'm going to let Sakura speak first if she has any six, just because she hasn't yet. But I do have a couple things to say to Gwent whenever Sakura is good.
Yeah, for me, I was already lowering my expectations by the end of Remake. So it kind of helps that I was already like, by the end of Remake. For me, I'm a purist, and I've had to come to acknowledge that, yes, I'm a purist. It's not that I'm not open to change. I think I'm a very open-minded person in terms of narratives and changing things, but I had to let go of the idea, this is not OG. This is not going to be like OG. At first, I thought, oh, we're finally getting that remake that we've been talking about since 2013, and it's going to be like OG, except, you know, HD, and it's going to be all the wonderful memories, and they'll stop, and no. It's not it's not that it's, I guess, the dev's fault for this, because I guess the way they're approaching it, they don't see it as it should be OG again. They see it as this needs to be some newer experience, because otherwise how can we have our fans just sit in for 3 games if they're going to be exactly the same thing. I kind of see that. I also see the love that the devs put into this. It's obviously a project of love. It's like reading someone's fan fiction, and you know they really, really love these characters, but it's like reading someone's fan fiction where you know there are parts where it's good, and then there are parts that could be way better. So you kind of just have to accept what is there. And that's how I see it. I see it as Final Fantasy VII fan fiction, to be honest. I don't see it. And it's sad because it looks like it's supposed to be the original vision. The devs finally have all the money in the world. They have all the time in the world. But it's not coming off as, oh, this is exactly what they envisioned. It's coming off more like, yeah, this is what they envisioned, but also the feedback that they're getting, but also marketing, but also we want to make money, but also there's too many cooks in the kitchen. That's how it comes across to me. So yeah. I enjoyed it for what it was, is what I'm going to say. The minigames for me, I've never seen such terrible level design of minigames in my life. I play a lot of games. The level design for those games, the controls, like I'm playing the piano on the PlayStation with space buttons. What are we doing with the analog here? What is happening? Why is everything analog? Things like that. Little frustrations along the way is what made me get soured. Not really as much the story, because I'm open to waiting completely until part 3 is done to make a judgment on that. But like just these little things as I went kind of dampened it for me. But I was already like setting my expectations as low as they could possibly go. So it didn't really like surprise me. It just kind of disappointed me, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
So no, you're not getting the low expectations here. We're all sharing this.
I remember, so like before I played Remake years now ago, I remember, I don't mind getting spoiled on video games and on stories. And so I actually read on Wikipedia the plot of Remake. I was just kind of curious. And so I actually had it spoiled for me what the ending was. And at the time, again, this was before I'd actually played the game, reading on Wikipedia, I was like, oh, this actually sounds kind of cool. This sounds like Star Trek. But then when you actually play it, the problem is the execution is just not there. It's the whispers are really shoehorned in awkwardly into an already complete story. And then you get to the ending and it's not like a build up to that. And it just sort of suddenly happens. It's very Kingdom Hearts in that way. And so it was like, okay, I could have been totally on board with going full Star Trek if they'd actually done it as well as Star Trek did. They just didn't.
That's a really good point. And that's one of my big frustrations. You have, like I said, that big canvas, and they're kind of throwing information at you visually, very quickly. And a lot of times it doesn't make sense. It kind of makes sense when somebody explains it or the devs talk about it. But when you play the game, it's not very clear unless you're analyzing tape over and over again. What's going on? What's supposed to indicate what? You shouldn't have to off screen explain that much. Let the game speak for itself. It doesn't do a good job of that.
Yeah.
And I have a thought on explaining too. When you're after the fact.
Oh gosh, I have so much to say about that. I feel like it's another problem where they're trying to integrate the comp as well. I will go ahead and put in just a little nubbin that devs have said in multiple interviews that major story beats are going to stay the same. And keeping in mind that's a somewhat flexible term, there's a number of ways they could incorporate major story beats while still changing a lot of the detailing. But the devs have said that a number of times. That said, I feel like part of the problem is that they're not just trying to tell OG, they're trying to also incorporate the comp. The mid-2000s comp that was largely a mess and to varying degrees of issues nobody really liked. But they still just can't let it go. And so now it feels like they're trying to integrate it and it's too much. There's too much going on. And a lot of it being from like Advent Children or Crisis Core has problems too, or Dirge of Cerberus.
There we go.
We don't talk about that.
Deep cut.
We don't talk about that one.
So it's just, there's too much. And it's trying to, and to be fair, it largely is in some ways improve the comp, but the comp was just not that good. And so trying to incorporate it, even an improved version of it, is just, it's not good in that way.
So when you say the comp, what's that mean? Does that mean like everything compiled to that point? Like, I'm not familiar with this. Okay.
The compilation. So the original, and what we're talking about, it, especially, I usually call right now what we're currently doing the retrilogy. I usually call that the retrilogy. And the comp, usually when people call it the comp, they're referring to the original game, Advent Children, Crisis Core, Dirge of Cerberus, and Before Crisis.
Gotcha.
And the books, to some degree, I believe, the novellas.
Yeah. Yes, the books too. Yes.
So I have two main thoughts on this topic that I came in. One, I think everyone has touched on in way, shape, or form. I'm playing another series right now, which I will not name in the interest of whatever. But it's amazing at world building. Everything builds on each other. The NPCs, you see them again and again, sometimes in different contexts. And so instead of being annoying, you know, side quest machines, they're actually sort of part of the story. So things kind of build instead of piling up. And I feel like in Rebirth, things piled up. In the Trails series, I dropped that. In the Trails series, things build. in a game like Rebirth, they pile up. And there's a big difference.
Exactly.
I think that the other one is really, with explaining, it's so funny, Gwent, but with explaining, and I don't love the author of this saying, but I'll throw it out there. There's a saying, when you're explaining, you're losing. And I appreciate the wisdom of that more and more. And I want to make sure this is being said in the right way. The midichlorian scene in Phantom Menace, perfect example of when you're explaining, you're losing. Alec Guinness told you everything you need to know about Force in the first Star Wars movie. We did not need to know about the microscopic bugs. And I feel like Rebirth was just banging along until about 75 hours in. It really started wanting to tell me this story, and it started moving away from this really compelling drama of this group of misfits who was really coming together as a team and showing each other who they were, which I found all of that fascinating. to this story that just did not interest me at all. And it was going on and explaining and explaining and explaining. And I eventually just, it was too much of a demand of my time where I got fed up with it, burnt out, whatever your phrase. So I don't know if more explaining would have helped, because I feel like of most Final Fantasy games, I don't totally understand what happened in the game. But the action of the characters and the successful completion of their quest carries me through. I don't need to understand everything that happens. And just as a final thing I've shared with you before, Gwen, I do wish the devs were kind of like David Lynch, where they told people to take a flying leap if they wanted an explanation as to what actually happened. But I understand there are circumstances involved so that they feel the need to clarify what their intents were. There's other factors. But yeah, that's my main one. It's just the exposition of the story at the end really wore on me after a while, and it just took away from what was working for me.
Yeah. So having been a long, long, long time Final Fantasy fan, I will say, especially Final Fantasy VII, the fandom ran into huge problems of the opposite reason. A lot of zero exposition and train wrecks that way. And now I feel like they've overgone the other way. Largely out of a reaction to all the fan drama that happened from not enough exposition. So like a really good example, like with Advent Children, for example, I remember watching the movie for the first time, the original one back in 2005, and thinking to myself, okay, how long has Cloud been this way and been doing this to his family? Because it doesn't tell you in the movie. I was like, how long has he been like this? What is this? And all it shows you for context is a photo where he is off in the edge being all broody, and while the family is together, I'm like, okay, how long has he been doing this? And then they just take him back at the end, like, oh, we're all good. And then months later, in an interview from a developer, it explains he's only been gone for 2 weeks. This depression's only been happening for a few weeks.
Extremely important context that is just not explained ever.
Yes! Like,
and it makes him look bad. It makes him look like a very mean person.
Because, like, him and Tifa have been living together for 2 years, and they've been in this problem for a month, and then he leaves for a couple weeks. Those are huge differences in time as to how you're supposed to feel about Cloud going through this situation. That is a critical detail as to how you're supposed to feel about Cloud, and that information isn't provided for us until, unless you happen to be nerdy as we are and reading developer interviews, where they tell you in a developer interview. And it's like,
you almost have to, though, because it's like, what's going on here? This isn't the guy that I grew up with. What's going on here? Like, I want more information.
I can say one thing about it, though. I actually had a much better sense of who Cloud was in Rebirth. And I actually really liked that. Most of that worked for me. That was not a problem. Those were some of the most memorable moments. I just wish they'd honed in on that. Like, really leaned into that. That was interesting. Yeah. There's always hope for part three.
Well, that's a going back. Yeah. Going back to what you were saying, Nathan, about too much explanation, one of the scenes that epitomized that for me in Rebirth was the backstory of Red 13. Because it gives you the scene like it is in OG, which is good. It's not one of my all-time favorites, but I do enjoy it. I enjoy getting Red's backstory. And then in Rebirth, completely added in that game, it kept going into the story of the lore of the Gi and the lore of the meteor materia and how that goes into, and it kind of completely vacuumed out all of the emotion of Red's story. In information we didn't really need to know, like, okay, how does this materia get made? Perhaps the way all the other materia got forged. We didn't really need an isolated lore story on just that one thing.
That's
one of the big problems with Seven, is like the external plot is not that interesting. The internal plot is very interesting. And when they're like digging in on that external plot with the meteor, and I'm like, I don't actually give that much of a fuck. Like, let's just show me the characters a bit more, not the materia. I don't care about the materia. It's a thing that exists.
It's a game system. I don't need a story.
I think I've said this before, but I was writing the other day about how my issue with the devs of Final Fantasy VII is they they do this thing where they'll add a plot point to explain another plot point, but that plot point that they added is open enough to leave another question. And then they'll answer it with another plot point that gives you another question. And then they'll answer that with another plot point that you're like, wait, what? And they'll do this constantly. So it's not really that they're not explaining enough or that they're explaining too much. It's like in a cycle of, okay, so we're going to tell you about this thing, but we're not going to explain everything. We're going to explain just enough to make you ask the question, what is this thing? Why is it there? But we're not going to tell you why or when. And then we're going to answer that. We're going to leave that as a mystery. And then we're going to answer that mystery with another mystery. And then we're going to answer that one with another mystery. So for me, part three is the end. So I would hope by the time we get to part three, we've answered all the mysteries. But right now we're in the middle. So basically, they answered the questions you have at the end of Remake, which is basically the end of Remake for me was what the actual, what? With, okay, we're going to answer half of that, but then we're going to give you another what the actual, what the. So you never feel satisfied with the answer because they're trying to like string you along long enough that you get to the third game, which is how I feel about that.
And part of it, you know, going back to what Gwent was saying about it being split in a trilogy and that being awkward, part of the issue is that this is an old RPG. And old RPGs, a lot of time, they have very similar-ish narrative structures, the classic ones, 7, 9, 10, Kingdom Hearts. They all kind of did this where you would have the introduction, and it would give you the basic story, and then they would, the middle was them journeying to hither, thither, and meeting all the party members, and recruiting the party members, and then you had the ending, which gave you more story. So that's the other thing about Rebirth, is it's kind of that middle. It's that we're going to go higgledy-piggledy, and we're going to get our party members. As an isolated thing, as its own story, it's just a little clunky.
And they let them, I guess this can segue into our hopes and dreams for part three, but
yes,
I feel like they just really left themselves with so much more to chew on. We have a lot to explain, a lot of ground to cover. And I'm very curious to see how they pull this off without, I assume you'll have to streamline things, cut out a lot of that mini game stuff and just focus on the beats, because we've got the live stream stuff that is being introduced. That is actually kind of a new element to the live stream white, the live stream black, which is kind of a theory, but it's visually represented in the game. I assume they're going to explain that to some degree, which is very interesting. You have the live stream sequence coming up, which is what everybody's looking forward to, where Cloud kind of pieces himself together with Tifa's help. There's the huge materia, and then all the stuff with Midgar,
the fall
in the crater.
What the heck is happening with Zach?
Like, I have ideas, obviously, but I just don't know how much room they've given themselves to tell the compelling story that is Disc 2. Final Fantasy VII is a very compelling story. It's my favorite part of the game. It is the meat of the matter. And I'm probably gonna do it. I don't know. There's just so much to cover.
I remember Nojima in an interview saying that he had actually written the script only until they'd gotten to Gungaga. And he had actually stopped the original Rebirth script at Gungaga. And then his co-workers, his co-devs were like, you know, we have to keep going. And that's when they decided to end it on Earth. And I'm like, doing the number three from Aerith's death on alone is a lot of story. How are they going to ever do it from Gungaga to the end of the story?
Oh, gosh.
I can't even fathom that, because just knowing how, you know, Rebirth played out. And Gungaga is a great chapter, but you're going to end there? Like, what?
Oh. That would be two Persona 5 Royals. That would be like,
basically.
So your hope is that they streamline it? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I said, they already don't have a lot of room. And I'm already complaining about the amount of room that they don't have. They're going to have to cram so much stuff. I cannot even fathom starting from about
Maybe they'll make it focused and really hard hitting and hone in on what that was. What
we can hope so.
And I hate to drop this again, but I will. It was like the Hobbit movies. And you give me some scissors and I can make an amazing movie with Bilbo at the center and the performances from Thorin and Gandalf in there. And what was her name? Toriel, nowhere to be seen. And you know, I love the idea, but no, but I feel like maybe the third edition, the third game will just hone in on what matters and make a lean, mean, just have a lot of punch and no flab.
I hope so.
Yeah. Like what we originally hoped for was that the game would end at the Northern Crater with Cloud's collapse, his mental collapse, and then losing him as a party member. You start the third game with Tifa and Barret. She's about to be executed by Shinra. That is like, that is compelling. That is high drama right there. And now we have to find a way to cram all of that into one game. And I'm just like, how do you get to those segments?
Yeah. As somebody who, especially like right now, you know, I've been analyzing narrative my whole life and now I'm writing for Shiggles. You know, I think about it in terms of that too. Like, how are you going to create your hook? You know, how are you going to, you know, after the death of Aerith, how are you going to punch it, get people really interested? How are you going to build up that, escalate your series of conflicts, your climax? It's just kind of an awkward spot right now to start it up, to get people going, ooh, right, starting with a bang. And so
you're going to start with them having a powwow in, and then going up the
icicle in.
It's a weird place to start. It's a very weird place to start.
You could do Aerith's mom's backstory. You would get into that, and kind of like the way Rebirth started with Calm flashback, it would sort of start with Aerith's parents flashback. That's the only way I could kind of think. But yeah, it's just kind of an awkward spot. It's the icicle in.
Yeah, and there's currently no stakes because
no.
if it ended with disc one OG, Cloud would have been like, okay, Aerith's dead. We need to stop Sephiroth. There's some sort of stake involved. Like, oh, you know, we need to go do this thing. We need to go on this journey. I don't know. Maybe we're avenging our friend. Maybe, you know, we don't know what goes on after this and we don't want, you know, things to get worse. Even if the meteor's not in the sky, at least you have, oh, someone died. Now we have to continue on, right? Here, Cloud doesn't seem to know. Like, he thinks, from what it looks like, Aerith is still alive. So it's the party that sees that. So what I'm thinking is they're going to like have something where he's clearly not on the same page as they are. So they're going to be like, maybe not trusting him. Or I think that's how it's going to go. But I don't see any stakes in that. Like, okay, now they don't trust him. Okay. What are you trying to do here?
What are you trying to do here?
Trying to like make sense of who he is and what his motives are is only compelling within the confines of the narrative that they had established. And right now it's a little bit loose on where we are with that. So I think that's a compelling angle, but I can't in my mind think about how they would.
I'm thinking it might be clone related. Like, doesn't believe himself when he gets to the Northern Crater. This whole like, right, not trusting him like leads that way, but then you could have just ended there. That's what I'm I don't know.
That again, yeah, that's really where it should have ended, because then Meteor Weapon Summit, everything has gone to shit and you have to start the next game without him. Incredible.
Yeah.
Scene setting,
I like
but,
it.
I don't know.
Yeah. And again, thinking about the tension build up, you know, again, going straight from Icicle in, then you're gonna have in the middle him falling completely apart. I guess that could be your climax, but oh my gosh, what are they going to take Yuffie's side quest and how are they going to?
Yeah, they're going to have to take like Rocket Town out and make it the side content. I don't think it's going to make it into the story. Yeah, they're going to have to take Materia into side content. There is no way.
I got the sense in Rebirth that they're planning on cutting out a lot of Cid's backstory, which I have mixed feelings about. On the one hand, he's kind of a controversial, old-fashioned, to-the-moon joke. Let's be honest. And I don't know how exactly you would completely modernize that, except the only thing I could think of is sort of doing it, but then better establishing character development and getting out of that humor persona than the OG established. But yeah, I just got the sense from Rebirth that they're just largely going to cut Cid's stuff out, or specifically just talk about his space stuff. Like, I don't get the sense that they're going to go into him and Shara anywhere close to the same way they did in the OG.
Because his thing was basically that he was a jerk to her. Right? Yeah, yeah, that she was the long-suffering, faithful wife to this guy who was kind of a selfish jerk. Kind of, sort of?
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
That's how I remember him.
Her cautiousness delayed his dreams, kind of like, basically.
That's right. But that's right. With the failed launch, I forgot. It's been a while. Yeah.
No worries.
We're talking about this, and I feel overwhelmed by how much still needs to be covered, and that doesn't even account for the Zack and Aerith stuff, because I think we're getting set up for them to be reunited in some capacity within that live stream, but we have no answers to where they are, where they're going, how they can exist in that space. And like, I had so many question marks. I like the idea, but where are you going to fit that in this larger narrative?
It's almost like, have you seen the finale for Lost? That was held in high regard. Because that was kind of the same thing. Had everyone together, and where is this, and what's happening? Yeah,
valid question. Live stream.
That went right over my head. I was like, okay, if I needed to play Crisis Core to understand this, I'm out. It's okay. Zach's here. It's fun. It's nice to see Biggs again, you know.
Yeah. You get Crisis Core would inform you of some of the back segment of Rebirth. It's more about what the characters mean to one another and what their motivations are versus like lore stuff. Because Crisis Core's lore is, it's a fucking mess. I don't really know how else to explain
that. Yeah, I like
that.
Zack is 100% the highlight of Crisis Core, let's be honest. And honestly, one part of that is he far and away has the best dialogue in what is otherwise not a particularly well-written game. And so his dialogue is just reacting to everybody else's bad writing and going, what is going on? He's making exactly what the player is doing. Uh-huh. Genesis is spouting ridiculous poetry at him. And Zach's just like, what is this? And the player's totally identifying going, what is this? Yeah, that's pretty much Crisis Core.
Yeah. And then he dies and you're
super sad because you got attached to him. Because you could relate very hard.
Something to look forward to. But I honestly did not. And I'm able to have that negative capacity where I'm like, I don't understand this. I'm not going to go look it up. I'm just going to move on. Maybe someday I will, or I'll forget about it. The ghosts were the same thing. Like, I feel like they're sort of fleshed out a bit more in Rebirth. You sort of get a sense. I think it kind of makes more sense, but I'm just like accepting that I don't know. I was like, okay, we'll see what happens with this. Maybe it'll be explained.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But yeah, I think a focused thrill ride that really focuses on what's important and cuts out the stuff that I don't need it to be 120 hours unless it's a compelling 120 hours. Like, and just, boy, it's just frustrating because some parts of Rebirth work so well. I remember Gwent, like, it's funny because I have kids. So I did this big scene with Barrett in Rebirth where it's Barrett's big scene with Dane. And one of the reasons I bought the game, it's like, well, this is great. I was like, did you play that ridiculous boss battle afterwards? And I was like, I did not. That's what he was talking about. And it was intended as comic relief, but I could have used a quick laugh and then we move on.
I felt like with that felt like the fight with Palmer normally put in Rocket Town that they just largely pulled. But yeah, it's the same kind of thing. And then moved it, but they sort of moved it in a weird spot. Because then you have this total whiplash of Peter Barrett and then the fight with Palmer.
He's hamming it up the whole time too. It's like you just didn't have any time to process what just happened.
Yeah.
And it encapsulates my biggest criticisms of where this series is going and how they've played certain things. It's just like, shut the fuck up for a moment and let the characters just sit in that feeling. before you move on to the next thing. Ah.
Did we hear from Sakura on what you want for the next one?
Yeah, so I started this by saying it feels to me as a purist who is very biased because for me, OG is better than everything I'm seeing here. There's nothing wrong with fan fiction. I like fan fiction. I think you can make very compelling adaptations of things and change things around in a way that, you know, services the characters. A lot of my favorite fiction that I read online is fan fiction, but this is the devs themselves. So I actually just hope that they're getting their vision and this isn't just some market grab going on. Because in the beginning, I was like, oh, this is their vision. This is what they've always wanted to do. But then kind of, is it really when you kind of see they're like being pulled in all these different directions that maybe it started with this, this is the vision. And then, oh, but we want to please the fans. A lot of it seems like fan service. I've heard this said before by a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of it does seem like it's just fan service. And like that scene with the Palmer thing, I can't think of any reason that would be there other than to, oh, we need a laugh here because it's been too somber. And we want to capture all the audiences. We don't want to be stay too somber. And then we don't want to stay too funny. And then we don't want to be too tragic. And it just seems like they're being pulled in all these directions. So I just hope that it's cohesive. And yeah. I'm not going to speak so much on like the story because right now I change my mind every single day how I feel about the story. But yeah. I just hope that when we get to the end, I go, huh, so that's why they did it that way. And that I understand that it was all for the greater good to get to this point. And I feel satisfied enough that they made a tribute because this isn't really like a remake in this traditional sense. It's more like a tribute to what I think is one of the best games of all time.
Yeah.
This, Sakura.
I was just going to say the same thing. I have doubts that they're going to pull off the landing, but I hope they thread the needle with the comp stuff because we have all this great material that has never been brought to life on screen. So many good scenes that only exist in the novellas, that only exist in side games or, there are not a lot of great scenes in Advent Children, if I'm being honest. So I don't really care so much about that, but if they are going to bridge the gap between this and Advent Children, I'd like to see more of what happens beyond this. Maybe even play it. But I hope they're true to the spirit of the original and they don't change a bunch of stuff that changes the thematics of the original game because the, mm-hmm. the themes and the messages that were in the original game were really important to me. And I think spoke to a generation of gamers. If you choose to, I don't think this is going to happen because I don't believe in like the multiverse stuff, but if they were to go full Marvel and just open up that can of worms and the consequences no longer matter, the sacrifices characters made no longer matter, that just sullies the entire Final Fantasy VII experience for me. And if they go that route, I will no longer love this piece of media. I will be like, the fuck? that was garbage.
So they gotta stick the landing.
I think, yeah, and they need to stay true to what made the original so good and the messages and themes that game conveyed. So I hope they do that. Fingers crossed.
Anything you want to add on that, Fax?
I think part of my bias as far as this game is now, and the reason why I'm still so excited about it, is it now, partly because of where it ended, three of my favorite all-time OG scenes are locked in part three. My favorite scenes in this order, the live stream sequence, the calm flashback. Number three is Zack saving Cloud. I love that secret scene where you go in and find Zack saving Cloud. Number four probably being the meteor when Cloud completely falls apart. And then number five is the death of Aerith. I know that might sound a little dark, but it was just a really well-composed death scene. I know some people say really awful things about her death, but it's like, okay, whatever, dude. But what I will say is that it was a well-composed scene. It was a well-composed character death scene. And that's why I like it. So yeah, three of those scenes are locked in part three. And so I guess I just really hope that they do those well. And that's kind of what I'm still sticking around for.
The game really is going to live or die on those three scenes, I think. If they land those, you know you're cooking. If they don't stick the landing on that, you're first long.
The internet will be ablaze. I want to add one other thing to this. One surprise I did get that I enjoyed, difference between OG and the new game, I got the Barrett date. Not really surprising. I love Barrett. In the original game, I think it was played up for laughs.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the new...
The 90s kind of homophobic humor, yeah.
Yes.
Right,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep, it was played up for laughs. It was like, why didn't you... Yep, exactly.
Yes, yes.
The new one was for the fans. The new one, they have some moments together. You see Barrett having fun. That moment where they're listening to the music and he puts his arm around him and they're like just enjoying... I mean, yeah, I felt like that was for the fans of Barrett, and I was happy to have... I wanted the Tifa date, but if I couldn't get the Tifa date, the Barrett date was right there.
Honestly, the one that surprised me, and actually, surprisingly, my absolute favorite date, I've seen them all now, was actually the Yuffie date. Which is funny, because in the OG, the Yuffie date kind of makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, girl, my character is 21 and you are 16.
God, okay. Just die.
Yep, but in the Rebirth version, it's actually really cute. It's more like you're just, and I think it was kind of intended that way in the OG, but didn't stick that landing and was just kind of awkward, but it was more like hanging out with a sister, like a frenzy kind of meeting, and she even like hints at Tifa at you, like, oh, I know there's something there, and it was actually my favorite scene. It was just the one I had the most fun with, even more so than the Tifa date, I know.
Wow.
As somebody who ships Cloud and Tifa, I know I should say that the Tifa date was my all-time favorite, but I actually had more fun with the Yuffie one. I just found the dialogue to be charming.
I need to check this out because I love Yuffie, but I would never ship Yuffie with Cloud or anyone else. No.
I gotta drop friends.
If there's a cute 16-year-old boy who joins the cast, we'll have a conversation about Yuffie shipping. But yeah, when rest of them are all adults and she's a minor.
I have that screenshot of God, I could just die because it's funny. But yeah, like when Rebirth tried to prompt me to give those answers to Yuffie, I was like, I actually wanted her to like him better for not going that route. And I was not on the same page with whoever was calling those shots. But yeah, any favorite moment for you, Sakura?
Yeah, I feel like what this game did good and what Remake's doing good is they're... Like, the overall is a mess, but the little moments here and there, little moments that were in OG, you can tell, as I said, this is a project of love. They are made with love.
Yeah.
There might be fan service in some of them, but there's love. Like, you can tell that the fans are the ones making this. The devs that are making this are fans. So, like, little moments here and there. I really liked, I had Red 13's date, and I got, like, a lot of Red 13 side quests. I liked the little side quests with everybody in the side quests, you know, when you're in the different towns and you go to the board. I liked things, like one of my favorite things was in Nibelheim, there's this guy named Dale and you can play like Queen's Blood with him. Like these little things, like these little NPCs that just flesh out the world. These bigger moments, like I did like Gungaga, especially like when you do the side quests, that is like, I think there's a gym one related to Zach, and you find out that this guy wants to be a hero because he was inspired by Zach. So there were a lot of little moments that I liked. What my issues were with bigger executions, but little moments, they did really well. And they remade it in a way that does feel like the original vision that the devs had. Though there are still kind of some things, as you said about the Yuffie thing, in OG, it's uncomfortable. And certain parts of Rebirth is uncomfortable, but they did it better.
Yeah.
With Barrett, they did an amazing job. I will always say what they did with Barrett was way better, obviously, than what happened in OG with him.
Yes.
The times have changed, and I think that's great. And I hope they continue on this track going forward for all Square Enix games because, yeah, the times have changed, and I'm glad they caught up.
I gotta say, I'm not buying it day one. When the reunion comes out, it was too much for me. But I have hope, I guess. After speaking to the scholars of Nibelheim, I once again have hope that maybe they'll be able to land the thing. Because that was the thing. I did enjoy a lot of that game. It's just at the end, I didn't want to finish it. And that's like sort of what it leaves you with. And I guess my friend Allie, who I had the last pod with, was talking about sort of Game of Thrones. How Game of Thrones was a good ride for about 90% of it. But boy, that ending really left people divided on the whole thing. And I think there's a lot of people who named kids and pets Daenerys afterwards, who felt kind of betrayed. But that's a discussion for another day. I don't think the end of Rebirth will be, or Reunion will be quite that controversial. Let's only hope. Gwent already ducked out, and we got a hard time. I want to thank both of you for stopping in today and sharing your thoughts on this. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward. I think we'll have to reassemble when we know something more about Reed series, once we have a little bit more to look on, maybe that first trailer. I mean, when do you guys think that's coming?
Tokyo Game Show is my guess.
Yeah. Following, if it follows the same kind of general timeline as Rebirth did, probably not until next summer. We'll see a first roughly. I mapped out how long it took from remake to the first trailer for Rebirth, and it was about that amount of time.
So it'll be all right. So we got a little bit of time. We'll probably start hearing the rumors. But until then, I'd like to thank both of you again for being my guests today. Thank you for joining the Amazing Gamers Podcast, a Just for Fun production that's recorded whenever Nathan has a little bit of free time and a friend to discuss a cool topic with. We hope you enjoyed the discussion and that you'll circle back with us next time. Until then, may all your gaming be amazing.